From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. And a hearty good day to Canadian sports fans around the world. Rod Peterson here, Darren DuPont there. Our whole crew coming at you from the bunker out here in Western Canada, ready to talk sports. I'll say it again, right off the top, just like Gronk opened WrestleMania with, let's forget about everything else going on in the world and just have fun for the next couple hours. I really like what Gronk said there. How are you?
I'm great.
Are you?
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. I got a lot to say today.
Good.
So that's probably a good thing why I'm sitting in this chair. Big show, big guest today, CFL on TSN's Claire Hanna, also of CTV, will be with us. All of these, by the way, via video chat. CFL great Eddie Steele, Grey Cup champion, former Eskimo Ticat Rough Rider. Sook Chung of the BC Lions will be with us from their offensive line. And I do have to say, one of the Lions coaches texted me and said, we're all going to be watching. So no pressure, Sook. Looking forward to that. And Justin Dung from 3downnation.com. I'm noticing we have a lot of people listening every day at rodpeterson.com/listen live. You don't see the things necessarily that we see. But everybody's talking about on the Facebook wall, all the viewers are chiming in with their hometowns. How did that come about? I have no idea why people are chiming in on their hometowns. Do you know why? We did not talk about this in the pre-show meeting.
No, but
what is the impetus on this?
I think we're just trying to find out where people are coming
from. It's just
from.
A topic? Okay. I love it. I love the fact that everybody's chiming
it's
in.
Great.
My hometown's on the wall here behind this University of Calgary Dinos football helmet, Milestone, Saskatchewan. Yours is Wynyard, Saskatchewan. And you might be the most famous person to come out of Wynyard. Am I right?
I doubt
You'd
that.
Be up there.
I doubt that.
Is there anybody else come close?
Brett Leffler.
Lefts, right, who's probably watching right now. Okay,
there's
gotcha.
There's a few.
Former captain of the Regina Pats, by the way. Let's get to the Magnificent Seven show topics, if we may.
Yep.
I got a lot of notes here, and my mind's a little scrambled the last couple of days. I was telling my wife that, so bear with me, okay? It comes and goes, but that's where I'm at. Number one, Gary Bettman telling NBC yesterday, a sports talk like this show hosted by Mike Tirico, that they likely won't finish the regular season. And all of a sudden, my phone started going off yesterday, ding, 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 all these notifications that Bettman had said that. And I thought, why are all the media outlets making such a big deal out of this? This is the alarmist reporting. Are you surprised? Did you actually think they were going to finish off the regular season or go straight to the playoffs?
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think that they will, and I never thought that they would.
No.
I knew that there has to be some sort of exhibition, probably. I don't think you can just jump right back into meaningful games after all this time off. I think you're going to have something a little bit more than scrimmages. And if they do, maybe it's one game in the regular season, two games, that even if they mean something. I really think that they're just going to take the teams that were close, forget about playing out the regular season, and let's just put them into a slightly expanded playoff.
I'm the same. Relaying what our viewers are saying, JR is watching in beautiful Cranbrook, BC, and he said Howard Stern had a special guest today. Yes, Howard did. Hang on. It's in my list, okay? And you're going to want to listen up, trust me. But I'll say this again. We could have had this as a poll question. Did you actually think the NHL was going to end the regular season? Because I never did. And it's so for this big revelation by Bettman to say that to Mike Tirico, who didn't think that? I'm with you. The debate is, are we going to go by points or are we going to go by winning percentage? Is it going to be 16 teams or 20 or 21? It was never to finish the regular season. I'm surprised that's news. Yeah. Point two, Bo Levi's Grey Cup ring. So how about this? They caught the punk that stole Bo Levi's Grey Cup rings. And I hemmed and hawed on whether I was going to tweet on this today. The thief was in Calgary court yesterday saying, hey, the car was unlocked. And I now don't know where the rings are. So the headline in the Calgary Sun was, thief admits stealing Bo Levi Mitchell's rings from unlocked truck. And I'm like, I have to. This is a 6-inch putt. I have to take this. So I retweeted it and said, and I'm the idiot. And it's gone like wildfire all across the country. And I, come on. How do I ignore that? It's right. How do I just walk on by and not make a comment on that?
I know. It's just like you're sitting there with a stick. It's just jam a little more. But
it's so painfully obvious.
I know.
Of course I feel bad for Bo, and I've left my Grey Cup rings in, what should I say, vulnerable positions. I don't anymore, but I have been there.
Yeah.
So I get it. I had to take it. I'm sure you understand. We are in the entertainment business, not the sparing people's feelings business. That's another business. So point three, as JR and Cranbrook pointed out, Tom Brady was on Howard Stern today. It was at least, I think, a 90-minute interview. And I'm a Howard Stern fan. I listen to him daily, and I'm a Tom Brady fan. So as Clark tweeted this morning, it was worlds colliding. But I don't know why I really just gravitated to Tom Brady leaving New England. I talk about it almost every day. I'm not the biggest Tom Brady fan. I don't own a Brady jersey. I own a Kurt Warner jersey, a Brett Favre jersey, but not Tom Brady. Not even, I don't have any Patriots gear. Why is this story fascinating me so much? The one thing that Brady said in the interview, of many, you're going to see all the comments come out, because this was Tom Brady as you've never seen him before. As they say, he talked about some of the warts in his life that you wouldn't think that he had. You realize that he's a human being coming out of this interview. But Tom was asked by Howard Stern, when did you know you were done in New England? And he said, going into last season. He played that whole last season in New England knowing it would be his last season. Now, if you're a Patriots fan, that's a hell of a revelation.
Wow.
If you're a Tom Brady fan, if you are an NFL fan, that's a pretty big revelation. And something jogged in my mind that takes me to point four that I had forgotten. And it was going into the 2018 CFL season. I told CKRM that was going to be my last year. And it was at the gym, told my boss, and I said, I'm going to be exploring other avenues for employment after this. I'm done. And I completely forgot about that. And you would have to have been around. I swear on my mother's grave. I swear on my daughter's eyes that was the case.
Wow.
But I forgot about it until I heard the Tom Brady interview. I'm like, I did the same thing. Now, if you've been around me, like you,
yeah,
and some of these guys and my family and certainly my wife, there was a lot of things going on the last couple of years. You know, mom gets a 2-month-to-live cancer diagnosis. A week later, my dad dies. There was a lot of traumatic things going on. So I guess when I did leave, it wasn't as out of the blue as you might have thought. And go ask him if you don't believe me. It's 100% truth. 100% truth. So that was the weird sort of morning that I had.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very, very wow.
To point five, this is part of the what I hate this time of year. As a guy that reads ESPN.com, watches ESPN all the time, listens to ESPN radio in my car, all they talk about is the NFL draft. I don't care. I don't care about any drafts. Are you following the NFL draft?
Right now, no. I'm following in terms of, okay, what are they going to do? Now it's going to be a completely virtual draft, I'm understanding.
Yeah.
I was following a little bit about what they were going to do in Vegas with basically the pier out in the middle of the water, right? The little, and then boat them out to the stage, which would be in the middle of the water, the Bellagio fountains. So I was following that. I do follow the prospects a little bit. I don't watch wall-to-wall NFL combine coverage, but I tune in once in a while to see how they did and follow that way from a distance. But no, I'm not all over it.
Yeah, fair. Sure. That was just my question, because I can tell you right now that I'm not. And that leads to point six. What interests you more, the NFL draft or the CFL draft? And quite frankly, the WHL draft is coming up. And in June, it's the NHL draft. And I don't care about any drafts other than a playoff draft, which we're hoping to have. But that's just me. This isn't new. I've said it for years. I'm way, way, way more interested in the Hall of Fame debate. Is he or isn't he?
Yep.
That I could talk about that for days. And you see the NBA announced their Hall of Fame class for this year on the weekend. NASCAR did the same for Jordan, our director. I'll be talking about that. It's in my sports notes here. I know a few of the guys in this year's CFL Hall of Fame class, Canadian Football Hall of Fame. I don't know all of them, but I know some of them, who they're going to be. I could talk about that all day.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe people aren't as into that as I am, but I'm just not a draft guy, because if you go back and look at the numbers, I think it's less than half of the guys picked ever play one game.
Wow. Well, and it's true. And, you know, the early rounds are where it really, you know, has more intrigue and more interest. And you want to know who you're who your team's going to take, and hopefully they get a franchise player and that type of thing. So I pay attention from that standpoint. And when it comes to the drafts, I mean, the NFL draft obviously is number one, then the NHL draft would be number two, and it's because we know the guys. We know a lot of the players. There's so much information about them. I can hit out YouTube and watch the highlight reel of the guy who's just been picked by my team, and I know everything about him and why he's going to turn around the franchise, and there's instant analysis. We don't really get that in the CFL or in the WHL outside of a Connor Bedard, right? I mean, look how excited we are about Connor Bedard right now. It's because we can see video of him. We can watch it. We know his stats. We can see him on interviews. We don't see that from any players, whether it's the CFL draft or the WHL draft, and that's why there's no interest, because we just don't know who these guys are.
It's the chicken and the egg. I mean, you are part of those Canada West football broadcasts. You, of all people, would know more about these guys that are going to be drafted than most.
I do.
Yeah, and it's just, it's tough. Where the hell did this hometown thing come from? I'm not against it. I just had no idea we were going to be asking people what their hometowns are. Richard Roy writes in. He says, born and raised in Weyburn. Still living in Weyburn. Probably going to die in Weyburn. Stephen Cormans writes in. He says, good morning from a guy in Nanaimo, BC. Never was a Lions fan. Go Riders. I guess we covered that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? Why are you a fan of the team that you're a fan of? And what won, Clark? It was geography, wasn't it? Because you were from that area? And the next one was maybe you had a family member play for that team. You heard that a lot, too, right? So that's fun. Again, don't have a problem with it. Don't know where it came from, however. Point seven, an interesting one. Ramifications of a delayed 18-game CFL season. You know, you just knew that although you hadn't heard a ton out of the CFL, that they were working like a hamster on a treadmill, just like every other league, trying to find a way to get... You knew they were.
Yeah.
Right? You just didn't hear as much. And then the commissioner comes out with his statement on Monday that the season would not start beyond July 1st. I'm just spitballing here and asking you to do the same by saying, can you imagine the chaotic situation they're facing right now? That you had a schedule that you can't adhere to now.
Yeah. It's a big deal. And the CFL, I mean, revenues, budgets, money is really important. And you don't have what we, I don't know what the clean way to say F you money, you know, where you can just say it's ours, NFL style, you know, where you can, you know, we got the stadium at these days. This is our new schedule. So adjust your schedule, AT&T Stadium, to fit around this, or you know what right. I mean? I don't know if the CFL has that ability. I'm sure that they do. But if they're going to, you know, change their whole schedule. They got to make sure now go back to building availabilities in all of these Canadian markets, television schedules, because every league's adjusting too. So if you're going to look at the Masters, for example, now being in November, well, what does that do to CFL playoffs? What does that do to the Grey Cup? Because TSN covers the Masters. Mm-hmm. And it's a massive deal on the TSN calendar, much like the World Juniors and the CFL. But in terms of events, it's one of those must-see events. Even if you're just a fringe golf fan, you typically watch the Masters. If there's one to watch, that's it. So all of these things come into play now when the CFL is trying to come up with a new schedule. How is every other league adjusting? And what does that mean? If we're going head-to-head now in July with the NHL playoffs, what does that change with our scheduling?
Right? Can't even imagine, because I look at some of these stadiums, BC Place, for instance, with the trade shows and things that they have on. Most of these stadiums aren't that busy, but some of them are very busy. So that's all booked. That's why, frankly, we have not sat here and criticized any leader, whether it be politically, medically, in the sports world, because they are having... They're earning their money right now. You're finding out why these guys are the highest paid guys, you know?
Yeah.
Just letting them do their thing. I watch Stephen A. Smith every single morning. I tell you guys that a couple times this week. He's just ripping the leagues for the way they're handling this. And why are you going to Arizona? And why aren't you playing PGA? And I'm like, that's not me. It's not me. You guys do your thing, and we'll talk about it afterwards. Because they're doing the best that they can.
Big time.
In most cases, everybody is, you know, on a daily basis, but right now it's just not, I don't think, the time for criticism. So those are some of the topics today, the Magnificent Seven show topics. Couple other things I wanted to get to. We ran the poll yesterday for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center do you enjoy watching classic games on TSN Sportsnet? I am shocked to have learned that the majority of people do, and I'm shocked because I don't. There's nothing about it that appeals to me. Maybe I would like to watch one Dallas Stars game from the 90s. That's it. But that's just me. You know, there's a whole channel dedicated to it, ESPN Classics. I very rarely stop on it unless the Riders are playing.
I'll be honest. I mean, what day is this without sports? I don't think I've watched one classic game.
No, and for me, it was by accident.
Yeah.
Stumbled upon it.
Right.
So that won the poll yesterday. But today, I tweeted this about 90 minutes ago. The poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center is, it was a carryover from yesterday, will you hesitate to re-enter stadiums and arenas once the pandemic is over? What do you think's leading on the Twitter vote?
People will not hesitate.
64% of people say no, they will not hesitate to go back to arenas. 22% say they're not sure. 14% say yes, they will. That is exactly, if I had to throw a dart and pick them, that's what I would think that it would be. That exact breakdown right there. I'm not going to be concerned, but I could see how some would, depending on your age.
Yep.
I mean, I've been doing, not studying on the coronavirus, but one thing I did see in a video that I saw from a doctor was that if you have healthy lungs and you're a healthy person, you're almost invincible, frankly,
right,
to the coronavirus. But not everybody can say that.
No.
If you're a two-pack-a-day guy, you're probably not coming out from the covers for a while.
You're a little worried.
You're probably not buying tickets.
You see the bench warmers where the guy hides in the closet? That's what I'm doing if I'm a smoker. Exactly.
Not coming out of the closet. And the other thing that I would say, I think that we have realized over the last certainly month, but even the past couple of years, the importance of the media as it relates to sports. I would hope people have realized that. And so one thing that I've heard, an impediment to sports coming back, is even if they do get the green light to play and they get the green light to open the doors and say, come on in, fans, people aren't going to for a variety of reasons.
Yep.
Health and safety. They might not have the dough. Maybe they've gotten accustomed to doing other things. And that's why I say leave that to us to generate the hype and get the public interested in going back.
Absolutely.
That's where we come in.
Absolutely. It reminded me yesterday.
Yeah, why were you laughing?
Well, it reminded me yesterday. I was thinking about this yesterday when in the post show or in the overtime, and you're talking about what we've learned today, and I remembered that we learned yesterday that the condiment counter is comparable to Baghdad.
Baghdad.
In terms of the danger, right? Down there. Anyways, I was thinking about that. Made me laugh.
Our hockey analyst, Jared Dumba, has just written in on the Facebook wall. He says, hello, I'm late to the party. You got to text me at 10 to 10 from now on, fellas. Don't we have notifications? Yeah, there's notifications, Jared. This is on you. It's a you problem, not an us problem. Get a notification every day from Facebook that the show's going live, which is a good thing because I'm hosting it. But everybody would get it, right?
Yeah.
The 6,000 plus followers that we have, which is, we've come a long way since launching on June 3rd. But you can go on and set your notifications, and it's not that hard to do. Jared, that sounds like a great thing for you to do today. There's a task for you.
Turn on the notifications.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Michael Gregory is watching in New Orleans and says, Howie was hilarious. To whom is he referring? Why do I feel like there's a whole conversation going on in the comments that I have no idea what they're talking about?
I have no idea either.
Hometowns? Howie?
Howie. I know now. Howie's the character on The Benchwarmers. That's the character. Sun bad. Okay. He's scared of the sun. I get it now. Okay, Michael, that was funny. That's funny.
Okay.
He's got the bowl cut, right?
Thanks for joining us for coffee, folks, today. So I'm not sure what we're going to accomplish, frankly, other than to have some laughs. And I got to say, when I do let loose with a massive belly laugh, which happens every couple of days, God, it feels good. It just feels good. I get winded walking up the stairs. That's been happening the last couple of days. How about you?
Yeah.
Like, enough.
Yeah.
And my wife and I have threatened to go for walks every evening. The weather has just been horrendous.
I know. And, We got a little sun yesterday, which was good, but then it's windy, and then it's
so windy.
And by the time, you know, you miss that window, if you're not going at like noon to two when the sun's at its peak, it's like it's cold in the afternoon, and then it just give us spring already. We had it for a day. It was 16 once.
Oh, yeah, one day. Yeah. Just a couple. Randy in Cochrane says, we get a five-minute notification from Facebook every day. So, Jared, that needs to be you. So you can get that. Or set your alarm. Hell, we all got iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
Text me. And Monty in Saskatoon writes in and he says, more, please. More what? I don't understand. As our, more of everything. Is it Tyler Dacu that wrote the thing about the Facebook wall?
Yeah.
Thanks for giving the Facebook wall a life of its own, Rod Squad. Why don't we call it the cesspool? What do you think? Everybody into the cesspool.
We could. That would be appropriate.
No, that's the comment section at rodpeterson.com.
That's right.
That is a cesspool. Look, we'll pause here. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore and our friends over there, the Dickens, and I sure as heck can't wait to get the new flooring done, by the way. I'd rather put new flooring in than sweep our floor and wash it down through this pandemic. Let's just replace it.
Let's just get rid of it.
Justin Dunk on the way. Claire Hanna, Eddie Steele, and Sook Chung. Hang on. We'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, coming this spring to Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi neighbor, Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we've increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is episode 210 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show. Just ahead of CTV's Claire Hanna joining us, sports update. The Edmonton Oilers say forward Colby Cave is out of emergency surgery after suffering a brain bleed. The team posted on Twitter that doctors removed a cyst that was causing pressure on Colby's brain. Tuesday, he remains in a medically induced coma at Sunnybrook Hospital in Toronto. Cave's wife, Emily, said earlier on Instagram that doctors were fighting to keep him alive in surgery. She called Monday and Tuesday the worst days of her life. Colby's a 25-year-old product of Battleford, Saskatchewan, scored once in 11 appearances with the Oilers this season. Vegas Golden Knights GM Kelly McCrimmon announced that the Vegas Golden Knights American Hockey League team based in Henderson, Nevada, has signed free agent defenseman Zach Hayes to an AHL contract. Did you hear that? Hayes recently finished his career in the dub with the Prince Albert Raiders. The Calgary product served as the Raiders team captain this season and tied for a team high plus 37. And with new cases of the coronavirus falling in South Korea, the country's baseball league is targeting an early May restart with teams ready to play preseason exhibition games as early as April 21st. The downward trend from a peak on February 29th is increasing the chances of the 10-team Korea Baseball Organization not only starting in May, but playing a full 144-game season. The league was scheduled to start play on March 28th, so they're delayed a month.
Wow.
I looked it up. South Korea's population, 51 million, if you care.
Okay.
If you want to play the numbers, everybody's big on math these days.
Try and compare it.
Right.
Yeah.
That is your Wednesday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. And for Red Bull Canada, watch out for the Red Bull Wings team to make appearances at some of the Rod Peterson Show on location events this summer. Red Bull is launching a new peach edition, which is exclusively available at 7-Eleven and Loblaws Superstore at No Frills. So out on video chat we go. We thank Claire Hanna of CTV and the CFL on TSN for sitting through all that. Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm good. How's life been? It's been a month since we've seen you on television in studio, and far longer than that since we've talked. How are things amid the pandemic for the Hanna household?
Working from home. I actually have the week off, just by chance. We were supposed to be going to California, sipping some Napa Valley Red right now, but that obviously changed like very quickly when all of this broke out. But anyways, yeah, working from home, which is definitely different. I've never seen my partner so much 24/7 in my life. And it's definitely been like up and down, and we have figured it out, but like, it's awesome, but it's challenging to be around somebody for so long. I feel like I shouldn't be saying all this bad stuff. It's all good, but you know what I mean? It's like a lot of adjustments, but these are total first world problems. I've got a job, I'm healthy, we're all good.
Oh, believe me, I understand it. My wife's watching right now, and we have not. And actually, it's getting better instead of worse, so that's all cool, Claire. But trust me, I get it. But you know what? You talk about Kirk, your partner. You guys sure travel a lot. Would you mind telling our viewers just some of the places that you've been? You've been some pretty cool spots.
Oh, yeah. Well, almost a year ago, we went to Bali. And I will say that was amazing. We also went to Sweden, and that was because he was at the World Championships in Östersund, which is where the Vancouver Canuck, I'm forgetting his name right now. He's from there.
You got me.
Who?
I don't know. Not sure.
Anyways, well, I'll remember it. He's got a
Pettersson?
Great last name. Anyway,
Elias Pettersson?
Yes, thank you. Pedersen's from there.
Yeah, anyways, my cousin. So, okay, continue.
Where else have we been? So this year we're going to do Napa Valley, and I was really excited. And actually, I'm a big John Steinbeck fan. We were going to be spending the night in Salinas, his hometown, last night. We were going to try to also get to a Giants game. So that's all changed. But we have this little pocket every year where we can travel because Kirk is curling all of the winter, and then I'm doing CFL rider stuff. So it's like our April, May is our window for travel. We try to go somewhere because we've spent so much time apart all year.
You know what? I'm going to ask you your take on the Dunstone rink news yesterday, but you mentioned the Riders. You're the sideline reporter for Rider games here in the CFL. So how closely are you following what's going on with the CFL on a day-by-day basis? Obviously, first the postponement of training camps, and now the commissioner saying, hey, we're hoping to play 18 games, but we won't be starting till July. Like, your fate's kind of tied to that. So what's that like?
Yeah, well, I'm following it as closely as everybody in Saskatchewan is. And I completely understand the circumstances that, you know, physical distancing is going to be imperative for like the foreseeable future. So it completely makes sense to shorten the season. And I think psychologically, you can't look too far ahead because you don't know what's happening. But it's almost a good strategy to just take baby steps. Like, okay, you know what? Things aren't looking good. Let's not start before July. And then in a month, maybe two, reevaluate it and then move forward. Because I think if you're taking really long-term measured decisions right now, it's not good for all of our psyche because we're like, oh my gosh, we're going to be at home, you know, physically distancing for, let's say they came out and said a year, you know, that's not going to be good for our mental sanity. So let's just take these, you know, little portions. But yeah, I think what Randy Ambrosi did is the good decision, and we're just going to have to see what happens.
Claire, you're right in the middle of it in Regina. Have you heard any talk at all, you know, in dealings, whether it's with TSN and the conversations with the league, about how any of this might affect the Grey Cup here in Regina? Because I know it's been thrown against the wall about, do we have to move somewhere else because it might be pushed back into December. Is any of that talk started or reached kind of your level?
Well, what we heard from Randy Ambrosi and what I'm still hearing right now is that nothing about the Grey Cup has changed. But everything, as you guys know, is changing so quickly. So even though we heard that, I think it was a week or 2 weeks ago, I'm almost losing track of time right now, that's what we've heard, that it's still going, the Grey Cup is still like scheduled for Regina, but who knows where this beast of COVID-19 is going to take us. So that's my update there. But, and you know, you've even, I think Saskatchewan, we're doing, Scott Moe's done an amazing job. Like, our numbers are low. I know our population's low, but compared to provinces like Quebec and Ontario, I think we seem to have a bit of a grasp on it. So, but I mean, it doesn't matter what's happening in other provinces. If the Montreal Alouettes, you know, can't get back, then it's not fair to still have a Grey Cup, you know, just because Saskatchewan's doing well.
Yeah, of course. Now, I got to ask you this from a professional question about doing the sidelines. I think I've asked you this when you've been in here, but for those that might not have seen those appearances, doing the sidelines, Darren and I have agreed, I believe it's the hardest thing to do, if not the hardest, the second hardest thing, be a sideline reporter in sports. Why do you like it so much? And by the way, do you miss the daily grind covering the Riders right now, given the postponement?
Well, let's remember, Rod, it's April 8th, so I still wouldn't be really covering the Riders until May 17th. First of all, I love sideline reporting because you are in the middle of the action. You are literally hearing what the players are saying right after they've come off on a given play. You see the frustration, you see the excitement, and you know, you actually feel like you're part of a game. And as you guys know, I used to play volleyball for Team Canada and won 3 national championships with UBC. And so I miss sometimes that action, but it feels really natural to be there beside the athletes and hearing those raw emotions. And so that's my favorite part about it. It's funny, I was actually watching Edmonton at Saskatchewan. Just, I have all the games from last season PVR'd, and I was going over some of it. And I was on the sidelines that game, and I hate and love watching myself because you cringe. You're like, oh, I wish I'd done that better. I wish I'd slowed down. I wish I'd inflected that word a little bit more and made sure that story, I juiced that segment a bit more of it. But looking back at it made me miss it a lot. And I know that we're all missing sports right now, but sports is so low on the totem pole compared to what we're dealing with. So,
well, I'll tell you what, we talk about it here all the time. You're just watching game film of yourself. You're making corrections. If you didn't care, you wouldn't be getting ahead, right? So you can look at it that way. So with the curling news yesterday, that Catelyn Schneider is out of Team Dunstone. Did you see it coming? Did you know it was coming? And what's your take on that? It's pretty big news in the curling world.
That was pretty shocking. And I don't know what to think about it because they had such a great season. They won that Masters, the Grand Slam of curling, and they were the first men's Saskatchewan team to win a Grand Slam since 2003. They got bronze. We all saw that incredible run at the Brier. And so you thought, okay, there's some solid chemistry on this team. They looked dialed in. They looked exciting. They looked fun. And so you wonder why they're making a switch up. I know that I asked Catelyn about it yesterday and he just said, to be honest, I'm shocked, but, looking forward to a fresh start. Don't know what that means. He wouldn't really elaborate on that. So I'm sure that there's going to be something coming down the pipes in the next few days. And I know on Twitter, a lot of people are saying, well, Colton Flash just got let go from Cooey. Could he be slotting into that team? So a lot of question marks, but I have a feeling curling news and sports news will be very exciting over the next 2 days.
Absolutely. No doubt. Well, we'll stay on top of it. Follow Claire on Twitter. How can they find you on there, by the way?
Clahanna, C-L-A-H-A-N-N-A.
All right, Claire, this has been awesome. We don't do it enough. I appreciate you finally finding time for us. And say hey to Kirk, and hopefully this is over soon.
Thanks, you guys. Stay safe and healthy.
CFL on TSN's Claire Hanna joining us. And I'll be honest with you, I really enjoy her sideline reports. And I will say it again, sideline reporting is not the hardest thing. This is my opinion. It's the second hardest thing. The hardest thing is sitting right here.
In broadcasting.
In broadcasting, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't get me going on my other career. This is not dealing with people's lives.
No, I thought you made the football broadcast.
In broadcasting. Yeah. In broadcasting, period. I mean, it's a scary damn feeling when you're sitting in a box in front of a microphone by yourself and you just see a clock start counting down and you've got an hour to fill. It's terrifying.
You got to go for an hour. Go.
Go. You're on. There's nothing to me as terrifying as that. although I learned to do it. But sideline reporting is difficult in its own way. I think about it all the time. I was saying, I think I wrote in one of my recent columns about how hard Willie Cole and Jeff Currier were on me when I was a sideline reporter back in the early 90s. I was 18 years old, Darren, right off the farm. And they're asking me to interview Danny Barrett and Don Matthews and Wally Buono. What the hell do I know? But get in there. Ask your questions. Oh, yeah. There was one game. Nobody would believe this. And only my family and the people from my small town would know this. I was somewhat timid and shy about that. It would not be my thing to go do it.
Right.
Whose would it be? You know?
Yeah.
So I went one whole game when I was 18, didn't do one sideline report, didn't do one cut-in, and didn't do one interview after the game.
Really?
And they ripped my ass after the game. Like, what do we have you here for if you're not going to do reports?
I know.
Oh, okay. And then you're sitting there with a jacket on that says CKRM on one side, Rider logo on the other, and you're on the visitor's sidelines trying to ask the trainers, what happened to that guy? How hurt is he? Is he coming back this game? And they're like, who the hell are you? Why are you asking? Who are you going to tell? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they just lost. And you got to get in there and shove your mic in. Look, I know we're not doing brain surgery here, but it's still what you do. It's live. There's nothing like the vibe of live broadcasting when you're on.
Go.
It's one thing to be by yourself, and it's another to have a guy who just got his ass kicked in front of 35,000 people, and he might not want to talk about it.
And he's mad.
And he's pissed.
And if you're on
little it's not easy.
And on television, you got a producer in your ear being like, ask him about this. Ask him about that guy who missed the play. And he's mad about that. I don't want to ask him that. He's going to be mad at me. Don't tell me that. You're sitting in the truck. You're all protected.
Oh, exactly.
Don't make it.
Do it.
Ask him. Ask him about this. Ask him about the scandal. Just ask him about the scat. No.
Oh, yeah. You no. Come out and ask him.
Or, yeah, and you're asking, you know, you're trying to ask them about, you're snooping around, right? And you feel like they're looking at you like this guy's, and they're hiding with blankets and stuff to try and hide injuries. And it's really tough.
And it's gotten worse. I tell you what I'm talking about, 29 years ago, when I was doing it was way easier than it is now.
Yeah.
They're not as secret. So, and Claire has to do that.
Well, and she's got to do her homework. So she has to have
right.
Stuff on every player because you don't know where the game's going. And all of a sudden there's an injury and they need a fill. And they're like, hey, Claire, or hey, Darren, we got to come down to you because we need a fill. You got something? So you better have something on a player who's relevant into the game. You can't just have a story about nothing that doesn't have to do with the game. So I get it. And with that compared to hosting the show, at least there's a game happening. So you're just narrating what's happening. With this, you have to create the game, narrate the game,
do everything with the talk show. And look, we got a break because we got Justin Dunk ready, and he'll have some thoughts on this, by the way. But I learned 2 or 3 days into hosting the Sports Cage when it launched in 2010. This is way, way different than play-by-play because when you're doing play-by-play, people are tuned in for the game. They're not there for you. When you're hosting a show, they're there for you. And you better damn well be entertaining because click. Or they'll be gone. It's a new kind of pressure.
Oh, yeah.
I never even thought about it until I, like usual, I got it back asswards. Jumped into the deep end and then decided to learn how to swim.
Yeah.
Justin Dunkel has some thoughts on that and all kinds of things in the CFL. He's next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live coming this spring to Game Plus TV Network. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Checking the poll results just ahead of Justin Dung from Three Down Nation, our daily poll for Capital GMC and Universal Collision. People are texting me, so my phone's going off here while I'm trying to read this. Will you hesitate to re-enter stadiums and arenas once the pandemic is over? 63% of you saying no, you won't hesitate to go back in. You're going right back in. 60 plus on Facebook too. 17% say not sure, and 13% say yes, they'll be somewhat hesitant to go back into stadiums when this is all over. By the way, Jared Dumba writing in, our hockey analyst, he says, rock star comment of the day is over from Roddy. I jump into the deep end before I learn how to swim. Me too, buddy. Me too. That's the best way. Well, I think so, because everything's worked out great. But now I take young kids in this business and I just throw them into the pool. And people are like, you can't do that. Why not?
How did grandpa teach you how to swim with a beer in this hand and he kicks you into the pool, right?
I'm a big fan of it.
Go.
They say, times are different, Rod. Yeah, that's the damn problem. Anyways, let's bring in Justin Dunk now from 3downnation.com. Just joining the conversation. How you doing, JD?
Well, guys, what about you?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Always enjoying your coverage of the CFL and so forth and your perspective on it. Can you answer, please, take your swing at the poll question? Well, if, as a fan, because as a media, you're going to the stadium anyways, but as a fan, would you be hesitant to go in when the pandemic is over?
I would be hesitant a little bit, but I think if it was over and there was either a vaccine or we were sure that there was a way to treat it, that I'd feel much better.
Okay. Well, yeah, I totally get it. I'm just saying a health green light, you know, it's, you can go in. That's the question. Now, Justin, been a lot of news in the CFL the last couple of days. What do you know about this 2020 season? And maybe I'll start with the Grey Cup because it's here. So everybody's asking, is it going to be affected? Where are we at as we sit here today?
Randy Ambrosi has been staunch in his stance that the Grey Cup is going to stay as scheduled in Regina. But there have been some other people around the league that have said, well, what if you have to move the Grey Cup? Could it be played indoors potentially later in the year? So even though Ambrosi won't address it right now, obviously wants to keep it in Saskatchewan, but I think it's definitely a possibility. And as far as the season goes, I think the minimum number of games that you would have to play in terms of talking to people around the league would be 8. So you'd essentially play every team once and then go to the playoffs. That's the minimum that they're looking at in one of the scenarios right now. But as we know, with the uncertainty due to the coronavirus, remains to be seen.
Yeah, would we say 9? I could see 8. I could live with 8. Could you live with 8?
8 would be epic, man. Imagine those games. Every single one would mean so much that I'd be all right with 8. It's better than nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Jump in, Darren.
I would be too. I kind of, my memory voted, I said 12 just because we seemed to really get things settled out 2/3 into the season. But yeah, 8 would be awesome. We're used to that, Justin, with the Canada West schedule. 8 games is pretty exciting. If you lose a couple, you're out pretty quickly. So that's pretty awesome. But you got, I wanted to talk about your report. That's what I wanted to ask you about, was the report about potentially having every contract expire if the season doesn't happen. Where has that gone since the days since you launched it on Three Down?
Well, it's been well read throughout the country and honestly the continent as well, North America. Surprised a lot of people in personnel offices. I was hearing that, you know, general manager types and front office scouts were literally freaking out when they first read the report. So it was surprising to me that it was such an unknown to at least a number of people around the league. There were some who knew about it. The PA and the league had talked about it a little bit, and I asked the CFL office for comment. They didn't have any because they didn't want to put their legal position on it out publicly, which is smart. So could it actually happen? That's probably way off in the distance. But if there are players, let's say, like, for example, Jordan Williams-Lambert a couple of years ago, who was able to get out of his deal and sign an NFL contract with the Chicago Bears, obviously he's back with the Riders now. But if you look at the language, it's possible to get out. So using a current scenario, Nate Hawley, the most outstanding rookie in the CFL, has NFL interest and would like to, if he could, get out of his contract. And this is one way that he could. Line 16 in all standard player contracts could be up for a debate in a legal setting.
How chaotic do you think it is behind the scenes with the CFL amid the governors, the owners, and the commissioner? What's the panic level, do you think? Because we're only seeing it from the outside, but I also know how it works from the inside. How fearful are you, or do you think they are, that there might not be a season?
That's so tricky. I think it's certainly within the discussions there that what could happen if we don't have a season. I've talked to obviously a bunch of people around the league, and they almost feel like, let's say, for example, Toronto, Montreal, and BC, that if they didn't play a season, they might lose less money than they would if they were operating. Because you look at a large amount of the expenses for these teams throughout the league comes on players, whether it's the salary cap, guys on the injured list, flying players in and out for workouts, or then potentially eventually signing them. So I think it would certainly be a financial blow to the league overall if there was no season. But I also believe that's why Ambrosi and the governors and the owners are going to look at this in a really flexible way, that if in a certain scenario the coronavirus continues and pushes past the ideal date where they could get 8 games in and still keep the Grey Cup in Regina as scheduled in late November, that then you need to get into those other thinking ideas. Okay, well, could we play into December or January if there was a window there to still get 8 games in? So I don't think it's necessarily panic. It's just going through every scenario to literally be ready for whenever, hopefully, behind us.
For sure. Now, one question that producer Clark brought up was, and I thought about this yesterday, let's just say anarchy reigns. Every contract's ripped up and where everybody's a free agent. And you have a draft. Who's the number one player in the CFL? I might just go with my man crush, Cody Fajardo. I want you all to think about it. But who do you reasonably think would go, Justin?
Well, Roddy, I don't know if you're going to like this answer, but you might actually, because there's been a bit of a feud. I would have to look at Bo Levi Mitchell. And one of the number one reasons why is because when Bo Levi Mitchell almost made it to free agency not too long ago, fellas, the Toronto Argos were close to shelling out nearly $1 million per year to get Mitchell to come to Toronto. Yes, he would have helped from a marketing standpoint. He's brash. He understands what to do in the media. So if I was building a CFL roster right now, Bo Levi Mitchell would be my number one pick from the standpoint of 2 Grey Cup rings, 2 MOPs, and he is a media darling and a lightning rod, a guy that fans want to come out and see and also listen to.
Oh, I completely agree, except for maybe in Calgary, but we won't go down that road. They should be selling out that stadium every game to come watch this guy. For whatever reason, they don't. I totally get it. And I tell you what, I was talking to a guy from Katy, Texas this morning. And I said, Bo's got to do one thing, and he could be the greatest quarterback this league's ever seen, hands down. I'm not going to tell you what I think that is, but that's I think the same thing of Bo Levi. You got to pick who would be number one?
Yeah, It's hard because I don't know which side of the football to go on. For me, it'd be Willie Jefferson.
Come on, DuPont, give us a pick.
Get off the fence.
I'd pick Willie Jefferson. I think having him off the edge, I think, and starting on the defensive side of the football, that's where I'd go. I'd go with Willie.
Oh, I didn't know that he could play quarterback.
Doesn't have to.
Fair enough.
But you know what? He probably could.
Yeah, exactly.
He probably could.
By the way, Justin, while we have you, one of our viewers, Dave Bircher, has written in. He says, when Ambrosi said that 18 games were a possibility, even starting in July, is player safety not an issue? My take on that is that the Players Association would comply because they want to play too. I don't think they'd be as concerned. But where do you think player safety would roll into this in a condensed schedule?
It's going to rank high overall, just looking at not wanting to have any of those players get the coronavirus. But it should be stated that whatever agreement happens, if we do get a season, if COVID allows that to happen, the CFL Players Association is going to be heavily involved in that type of setting and discussion before we decide, okay, well, are we playing 8 games, 10, 12, and how many weeks or months are we fitting those games into? So the players will agree to it. To be quite honest, guys, I think there's going to be almost a little bit of a coronavirus CBA, if you will, with these discussions between the PA and the players.
Do you know or think that the CFL is modeling the other leagues or will look at what they're doing? It's hard because everybody's going on the fly, but you're hearing that in the NHL, the NBA, and the NFL, that the players are willing to scrap the CBA and draw up a new one. Those leagues are doing that. Do you think the CFL is going to follow that model?
All options need to be on the table. The difference with the CFL is, as you guys know, is just the sheer amount of athletes that you have to have sort of in one area, right? The NBA obviously had that idea of potentially going to Vegas and everyone was quarantined and they could finish there with no fans in the stands and everyone just sort of sealed off from the public playing those games in one arena. That would be a little more difficult to do in terms of the CFL. And the other issue that's going to come up is the border. What do the governments have to say when we get down the line here in terms of opening up the border? Because Trudeau and Trump have been in a bit of a battle themselves. So that's way higher than the powers that be in the CFL.
Anything else for Justin?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. Well, you guys are leading the charge here through the pandemic. Well, you always do with your coverage and so forth, but maybe just a shout out for 3downnation.com with what you got cooking up there today, Justin.
Well, literally, we've got Connor Cook cooking. The Toronto Argos are recruiting the former star Michigan State product, and he played for the Oakland Raiders. Actually, the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to have his first NFL start come in a playoff game. So we have that news up today. And I got to add one thing because you guys were talking about the sideline reporting earlier. The guy that's always in DuPont's ear is Dave Roberts because he wants the goods, but it's so much easier to sit in that seat and ask the sideline reporter
See?
To ask instead of doing the asking. So, Dupes, I
He's
kill
a
you,
Nazi.
You know, Justin, you know.
Oh, I know. And Dave's always weird. Listen, I've worked with Dave, too, and he hates when I say things like that. But he's a taskmaster.
He's good at it.
He's very good. Probably the best that I've ever worked with. But he's probably watching right now. Justin, thanks for the time. I know you're a busy guy. Keep it up, my friend.
Cheers, guys. Be safe out there.
Justin, you too. Justin Dunk from 3downnation.com. You can follow on Twitter at jdunk12. As I say, Canadian football coverage runs on Duncan. And that's all I have to say about that.
Can you trademark that? That's pretty good.
Now he should trademark that. Why do I got to do the thinking for everybody?
That's great.
Mike Lear writes in and he says, could you do 18 games, but for player safety, do 10-minute quarters? Could make things fast and entertaining. That's where I can't participate in a discussion like that. That's the what if scenario. I mean, my whole thing is I get people want to talk about that, but I just don't want to expend the brain energy on that because that's what these guys are dealing with. The lawyers, the owners, the presidents, the commissioner.
Well, yeah. And they are. They're dealing with that in terms of player safety, in terms of the CBA, all those things. And it's like it's really labor negotiations, just like in any business. How much are you asking me to work? How much are you going to pay me? How much time off do I get? Breaks, yeah. All that kind of thing. So if you're trying to compress a season and play more than once a week or do it like when you play three games within a 2-week period type of thing, It could be less time on the field, but they're worried about the integrity of the Grey Cup, just like the NHL is worried about the integrity of the season, the Stanley Cup playoffs, the 100-year-plus traditions. If you're already talking about changing the season length, I don't think you want to go down the route of changing the games themselves, because that's just another way to not uphold the traditions of the league. So I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
Another reason why I don't want to talk about it either, because I'm not as big on player safety, because who are my good friends? The Roger Aldeggs, the George Reeds, the Bob Polies, the guys that played 3 games in 9 days era sometimes.
On both sides of the ball.
On both sides of the ball, going both ways. So I don't have as much time for player safety, and that's just me. I'll recuse myself from the coffee chat about it because I just don't. I think it's overplayed, to be perfectly honest with you. I saw it again this morning on ESPN. They were talking about, can't remember which player it was, former player, said, I'd have a tough time leaving my wife and kids for 3 months, but I guess if I had to, I would. I'm like, you do what you got to do. But that's just me. And that's why I'm like, I will take myself out of this discussion because I don't agree with it. I've heard it a few times. You see this army helmet, this war helmet over here. I deal with the military so much. I just see how mentally tough those men and women are. And I compare situations in my own life to that. And people are like, well, you can't. That's the military. Why not? Is that wrong?
No.
I mean, and that's just me. I'm not saying NBA players or CFL players should do this. You guys go figure it out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Everybody has their own circumstance and their own situation, and the way they feel about it and how they compare their situation, that's what's going on up here, right? Everybody's got to figure their own thing out.
Well, going way back, put up this comment from Jim Vance, if you don't mind, on my screen because I want to read it. But going way back to the start of this show, when I mentioned just some of the things that I personally have been through with summer 2018, my mom getting that cancer diagnosis. She got 2 months to live. And then a week later, my dad dying. I took one day off for each of their deaths. That's it. In retrospect, it was wrong. I shouldn't have been on the air. That was my choice to go on the air. I didn't do it right. But looking back now, here in April of 2020, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So that's just me. I don't have as much time for the problems of others because I've been through some pretty nasty crap. That's all. I'm trying to help others get through it too.
Yeah.
You know, so
on your scale of what's,
I didn't do it right.
Of what's, you know, what matters and what's not and what's a real problem, what's not, a lot different than what I would think is a problem because you've been through the worst. I haven't. Right. So I get that.
And God willing, you won't.
Everybody's got a different lens that they're looking through. Yeah.
Yeah. Jim Vancha writes it and he says, just jumped in. I'm sure you've heard that the NLL has canceled the remainder of the season. That would be bell ringing worthy for breaking news, but I just don't want to ring the bell for breaking news that the NLL has canceled their regular season. So what the hell? The remainder of their season. Now, it's interesting you say that, Jim. They've got what? What are they, Rush? 6-3? Do they have 9 games in?
I think so. I'd have to look at the schedule.
So, but we'd have to ask the Rush. Are you Rush fans? Tell me, what's the Rush record? I have not seen, I did not get a notification from the NLL. That's the one, what an underserved league in terms of national media coverage in Canada. And don't even get me started on the United States. They don't get the coverage they deserve for the product that it is. But are they saying that they'll play playoffs? Is this like the NHL, whose regular season hangs in the balance, but we're going to do whatever the hell we can do by hell or high water to play playoffs. Is that what the NLL's saying? Yeah. I don't know. To say they've canceled the remainder of the season, if that is exactly the wording of their announcement, that would tell me they're not playing playoffs either. They're saying we're done.
Yeah. They would normally play the Champions Cup in June.
Yeah.
Right? So a little bit of time there, but if communities are canceling all events and public gatherings through June, some into July or through July, that makes it very difficult for them to play a season.
Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, writing in, this man's been through a lot in his life.
Oh.
2-time Grey Cup champion. He says, it's just surprising what we can do when we got to do it. Smitty, thank you, because I don't even know that I said it properly here, but when I just hear a player that's due to make $35 million this year, pissing and moaning that he's going to can't miss his kids. I just don't have a lot of time for it. I'm sorry. We'll break. We'll get into more of this next hour. But I, why I didn't ring the bell is it's just, frankly, so damn depressing right now. Brendan McGuire wrote it in his column on my blog, Throwing Elbows with Brendan McGuire, how he hates the fact that people are just walking around with this forlorn expression every day. And how do you tell them not to?
That's tough.
It's crappy.
It's tough.
And now the NLL has been scrapped.
I know.
Brutal.
And it's really tough when we're optimistic. You know, we've stayed positive and stay optimistic. It's hard to expect that from everybody.
Leonard Strandberg writing in, I believe he's still in Arizona. Last I talked to him, he's in Arizona. He says, he's a junior hockey Hall of Fame guy. Everyone has bad times in their lives, some worse than others. It's how you adapt after. Thank you, Leonard. We'll be back next hour. Eddie Steele and Sook Chung. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, coming this spring to Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards. They're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup, and delivery at no extra charge. And we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.